fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I want to talk this week about standing on the rock, standing squarely and safely on the rock that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to talk about it because it sure seems like there's a whole lot of shaking going on in the world today, and lots of people are getting caught up in the anxiety of the moment and the fear of the unstable political situations, unstable military situations, a culture that seems to be losing its marbles, and it's disturbing. It's not surprising that it's disturbing. It's normal, I guess, to make that response, but I think there's a healthy response that is able to see the situation, and seeing it is going to cause some initial disturbance. But for the Christian, we should never be surprised, ultimately. Cardinal de Lubac from France years ago said, "A Christian or a disciple of Jesus should never be surprised when the world acts worldly. This is not our home. The world is an unstable place. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations." But he teaches his disciples to look at that reality in a particular way. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." Now, to look at the tribulations in the world and the trials, the kind of the insanity, the moment we're living in, the destabilizing feeling that people have, as I said, it's a response to something that's real. There is a deconstruction that's happening in wide parts of our culture today. The deconstruction of the human person, the deconstruction of the family. Society is changing extremely rapidly. There's a rise in the numbers of people who publicly reject God and turn away from Him and want to craft a world and an existence that makes no reference to God whatsoever. So there's a tension and there's a consequence to making that kind of a decision as a culture. We end up by rejecting God and denying the truth which comes from God, and that God is the source of our creation. He's the source of our dignity. We're made in His image and likeness. If we deny all that, then we walk, as Scripture says, we end up walking in darkness. We don't even know who we are. We end up fighting against the truth. We choose things that are unnatural. We end up coming under powers that are outside the kingdom of God, the powers that Jesus Himself had conquered, right? So there's a real problem, and there's real consequences to it, and it can make life difficult and create tribulation. So Jesus, when He was speaking to the apostles, His disciples, He knew well what they were going to face in their lives, and He knew well what you were going to face in your life and what I'm going to face in my life. He said, "Okay, I understand. In this world, you will have tribulation. And tribulation is difficult. I get that. But remember this, there's a deeper truth. There's deeper reality. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has conquered every principality and power, every dominion that rises up against Him and rises up against those who believe in Him. He's destroyed ultimately the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil." And here's where faith, hope, and love come in so powerfully in the Christian life, why they're so central. Faith is that really a grace from God. God enables you and me to be able to see who He is. The light of God is revealed to my heart and to yours. And so faith allows me to see the light that is Christ in God's plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not die but would have everlasting life. We can see that Jesus comes from the Father, that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus has come to earth for a reason, because of the love of the Father, that the love of the Father sent Him, so that whoever would believe in Him would not ultimately be subject to the tribulations of this world, to the powers of sin and death and darkness, to the world of flesh and the devil, that these realities, which did indeed have a hold of every single human being, the powers that could ultimately destroy us and that produce in the human heart genuine reason for despair. But Jesus came precisely to break the hold and the power of these realities And he brought with him a whole new way of being, a whole new existence. He brought heaven with him. And he came to become one of us so that he could give each one of us a share in what belongs to him. We could have a share in his own glory, a share in his own life. He comes to bring us the confident assurance. Now we're talking about hope. In faith, what we see who Jesus is and what he's done. And then he imparts to us that living knowledge, the belief in him. And that belief is a radical abandonment of our lives and trust to him, despite what we might see, the tribulation, the difficulty. We know that if Jesus Christ said, "Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world, I will never abandon you or I will never forsake you. You're in the palm of my hand. I've come to give you a kingdom. I've gone to build a mansion for you." Now, all the things that Jesus has said and done are true. Faith gives us access to it. Hope is that vital theological virtue in us that gives us confidence that precisely what we see, precisely what Jesus has told us that he's going to give to us or that he already has given to us and that we will ultimately inherit. Hope is the confidence that I will receive the very thing that Jesus promised me. It's the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. And so, as Scripture exhorts us so clearly, set your mind on things above, Jesus said. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Don't ultimately be focused on the earth in the kind of way that so many in the world who do not know God are focused, like this is all there is. And living under constant anxiety every day, every new news story, every new problem, every new fired politician, whatever it is, every new threat of a military enemy. These things are troubling, but they're not ultimate, and they don't fundamentally change who you are or why you're here or where your life is headed. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. If you're born again in Jesus Christ in water and the Spirit, in baptism, if you entered his church and you're living among his people and you're internalizing his word and to the best, the grace he's given you, you're living that word, you're participating in the life of the sacraments, you're helping build community and communion in the church, and you're extending the gospel in the world in whatever simple way God has called you to do that. If you're living as a disciple, you have nothing to worry about. Literally, the words of Jesus apply directly to you. Trouble in the world? Be of good cheer. Don't worry about it. Matthew 6, Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything. That seems nearly impossible, because as human beings, we make a living being anxious of just about everything. Remember when I was about 20, I was in college. I had just begun the year and a half before to come alive in my faith and started pursuing the Lord and responding to the Lord's pursuit of me, I guess is the best way to say it. New grace and life was flowing in my life. And I looked to some older friends who were further down the road in the kingdom, you know, for advice. And they said, you know, one of the things you need to do, because I wanted to really grow. I had lots of problems. I mean, I was a worldly young guy. I didn't live a life of prayer when I was a teenager. Before that, I sort of ignored God and the ways of God. By grace, I came to faith, and my Catholic faith was awakened, and I actually started to live like somebody who was confirmed in the church and entered into full membership in the church. Friends of mine said, you know, it's really important, Peter, that you read the Word of God every day, that you pick up the Scripture, make sure, first of all, that you have a prayer time every day. Ground your life every single morning, or if you're not a morning person, find another time in the day, each day, that's unshakable. Not something that you're going to do once every 5 days, but you're going to be able to lock down and lock in a time, and you're going to give it to the Lord. And they said, since you're a college student, you have at least an hour. Sounded like a lot to me. And it was at the beginning, because I wasn't used to praying that much. And so, well, one of the things you should do is to take up the Scripture, begin by reading the Gospels of Jesus, knowing more about Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand and hear this word as a living word for you. And so I did. So, in the mornings, I'd wake up 6:30 or something, and I'd brush my teeth, come on back in, sit down, take an hour to pray. And one morning, late in the school year, I was reading Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus gives that really amazing teaching that, I have to say, changed my life. It was maybe the first moment or one of the first moments in my life as a young Christian where paying attention to the Word of God, a passage just leapt off the page. And I want to read this passage to you and just say a little bit about it. This is chapter 6, verse 25 of Matthew's Gospel. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor in your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? See what Jesus is doing? He's addressing a fundamental human problem. Anxiety about, will I have enough? Will I have enough for tomorrow? Jesus speaks right to it and says, these are questions that are not as difficult as you might think. But as you consider these things in your life, remember this first. You are so valuable in the eyes of my Father. You're more valuable than the birds of the air. They find food. How do they find food? My Heavenly Father feeds them. And understand who you are. You are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows, Jesus says at another point. And he said, and which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to his span of life? So first he's saying, you don't have reason to be anxious because your Father in heaven who loves you is with you and he'll provide for you. He may not provide exactly how you want it, but he will provide what you need. And then he goes on to say, and then think of this. What's the point of being anxious? Does anxiety add one single thing to your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? He goes on, consider the lilies of the field. And he said, the Lord takes care of the grass of the field that's here today and gone tomorrow. God provides for it. But you're an eternal creature. God made you to live forever and to live forever with him. Lean on him. Trust him. Don't let the devil lie to you. And then he goes on to say, therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, that is unbelievers, seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. The next verse is a verse that changed my life. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. I think this is a word that the Lord wants to speak to each one of us in these very anxious and troubling times. And you notice how people, the more anxious they get, the more impatient they get, the more tense and angry they get. Who do you think is the source of all that? It's a moment for everyone who's a follower of Jesus now. You're the light of the world. Be clear-headed. Be sober. Walk one step at a time, trusting God. Lean into him. Let your heart sing and proclaim that God is faithful and that he's for you and that he will provide and he will let you be the light of the world. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.